So at this point in the program, I want to speak with you about your intuitive development journey. As you practice soul realignment, your intuitive experience will change significantly. Intuitive development often progresses very differently from what we expect, and being aware of how your experience may evolve will allow you to recognize your developing intuition for what it is. And truth is, the more heightened your intuitive abilities, the more important discipline becomes. Now, it is very normal, first of all, for you to start receiving answers internally before your pendulum moves. This will happen for everyone eventually. Now, it's important that you don't try for these internal intuitive hits. They will just evolve. And it's one of those great side effects of effective dowsing. It's just that for some of you, it happens sooner than later. And I often hear from students that are kind of freaking out, thinking that you may be making up the answers because you're getting an internal answer, a knowing, before the pendulum starts swinging. So even as you're focusing your conscious intent on the question, boom, the answer just arises within your consciousness. And then a lot of students think they're making up the answers. That is actually not true. It's very normal for you to start getting yeses and nos before the pendulum swings. It's also very normal, for example, when you ask about, let's say, the primary energy center. Normally, at the beginning, what we do is we douse through all eight of them. We go, is it the first, is it the second, and so on, right? And then we land on a yes, and then we move on. Well, what'll happen when you set your intent on discovering the primary energy center for your client, what will just leap into your consciousness is fifth, just like that, before you even had a chance to douse. That will start happening. Same thing with soul groups. Suddenly, it'll be just like, oh, Polarian, right? And you'll just have this knowing. Now, I still recommend that you confirm with your pendulum. So then, for example, if it leaps into your consciousness that it's the fifth energy center, you just go ahead and ask, is it the fifth? You'll get a yes, you can move on. The reason I still recommend confirming with the pendulum is that sometimes we're not that focused. Sometimes the answers come, sometimes they don't. Sometimes we may have preconceived notions. And so it's always good to confirm. In the beginning, you may find that sometimes what you thought internally was the answer is not the answer. Over time, you'll get really consistent that your internal and external answers are the same. But you want to know something? Personally, I still love dowsing. I just enjoy the practice, so I go really, really fast. And most of my answers are just internal and they're just confirmed, confirmed, confirmed. But I like the practice, so I still use a dowsing pendulum, although technically I don't need it. But just understand that when those internal answers come up, that's not a sign that you're doing something wrong. It's a sign that your intuition is really evolving. And it's a process that can't be rushed. So please, as I'm saying this, and if it hasn't happened for you yet, please don't go searching internally for the answers, trying to get the answers before you move the pendulum, right? Don't try for that. It'll just happen with practice. And for some people, it just takes doing 10 sessions or so before those internal answers come up. It just depends on our level of comfort and how relaxed we are in the process. So at first, your intuitive senses may come into your consciousness as words or a sensation or a visual image or an auditory phenomenon. But as your intuition develops, your senses actually will stop being involved. You will have developed claircognizance, which is just a sense of knowing. So there's no physical sensation, no feeling, no nothing. You just know. And you don't know why you know, you just know. The thing is, it's very quick. It's also very easy to miss. And generally, we all have it right from the start, but we ignore it and second guess it so quickly that we're not even aware. So claircognizance is always there for us, but tuning into it is just a process that takes time and practice. So it is important, though, not to attach yourself to any intuitive experience or sensation. So often we want an intuitive experience just so that we know we're right. We want to feel like we're doing something and it reassures us when our senses are involved. Well, that's why I actually have you do the dowsing. That's why it's so incredibly useful, because you've got that externalization of your intuitive process, and it makes us feel like we're doing something, and it also gives us the confirmation that, quite frankly, our mind and ego really needs, especially when we're brand new on this path. So trying to feel, see, or hear intuitive messages and answers will actually limit you in the long term. So please, please allow your experience to change. Don't get attached to having a certain visual image or a certain feeling when you're accessing the Akashic Records and when you're practicing soul realignment. None of that is necessary. And in the long term, we actually don't want it because it's going to slow you down. So in the end, accessing information for another soul will happen just through a flick of your intent. It'll be so fast, and it feels as ordinary as doing the dishes. Because that's the thing, this work is easy and it's normal. Often, we're drawn to intuitive and spiritual development out of a need to feel special, or we want more of that connection to our spiritual aspect. But there's no part of us that isn't already deeply sacred and spiritual. What we're doing here is normal. All of us already have an aspect of ourselves at the fifth dimensional level, okay? So at the fifth dimensional level of existence, all of us are already there. We're all already connected to the information superhighway that is the fifth dimension and the Akashic Records. And that's true for every single human being on the planet. What actually makes you special as a practitioner of this work is that you are putting in the time and effort to develop that connection consciously, and that you're honing your intent and really getting to know that connection. But it's already there for everybody. So in many ways, what we're doing here is very natural and normal. And I would invite you to allow it to feel like that, like it's no big deal. You don't have to shift into some weird meditative state. You don't have to feel like you're removed from your body. In fact, that's going to exhaust you. If you are doing too much, if you're working too hard, you're going to get tired, mentally exhausted. Intent is just something, it's faster than thought. Setting an intention, saying, I'm receiving this record from the fifth dimension. Boom, that's it. You don't have to stay on top of your intention. You set it. And you're a divine being. You said this is where you're getting information from. Therefore, because you're a divine being and you said so, that's what's going to happen. It is. So you don't have to work so hard. You're already a divine being. Act like one. Don't overwork it. Right? And that's the thing. You have to maintain an attitude of authority. You are the records. You are in charge. In soul realignment, we're engaged in an active process. We're not passively receiving information. We go and get the specific information we want when we want it. Never abdicate responsibility for the intuitive process to your guides or to spirit, or because you know what? That's you. There is a mistake in collective consciousness in regards to spirit, God, whatever spiritual resource, you name it. And that's that spirit is up there and we're down here. Spirit knows everything, and there's a plan for us that we just lowly human beings that we are don't know about. And it's all a mystery to us, and there's some stuff that we just can't understand because we're just humans, and all of that is a bunch of crap. There is no part of us that's not divine. There's no part of us that's lower or less than any other. And the thing is, spirit recognizes us as the ultimate authority over our own experience. Because we are spirit. We are individuated expressions of the divine. So who's in charge of our intuition and our experience? Oh, that would be us. So if we now go and abdicate that responsibility and power to spirit, what we get is completely unproductive. It just doesn't work. And yet there's so many people who are running around wanting to be all spiritual, and they're almost like spiritual puppets. I mean, I know one person, I swear, all of her decisions, she doesn't actually make any of them. She thinks they're all coming from her spirit guides. My guides told me this, my guides told me that. She's running around doing all kinds of nonsense. By the way, not creating good results, and yet still insisting that, you know, this is all being directed by spirit. It's like, you know, you have free will for a reason. How about using it? Our job with free will is not just to be obedient. That's not what we were given free will. It's not a test on how good a little human you can be. We are given authority so that we can use it. And yet so many of us are afraid. And my hope for this work is truly about the integration, healing the gap between spirit and the physical dimension, and creating that oneness and integration sort of in the vertical. Because in a lot of spiritual development, we think of the oneness and integration sort of at upper dimensional levels. Oh, in the spiritual realm, we're all one. Well, we're one between our third dimensional aspect all the way through to the divine. That's also oneness. And it's that integration that we're shooting for. So your intuition is entirely driven by your intention. This is what it means to take responsibility for our intuitive process. Nothing happens with our intuition unless we intend it. Every intuitive hit or message we get, we ask for. So the thing is, if you have a desire to be special or extraordinary or chosen, or have your spirit guides run the show, you know what? Then you will receive information that affirms your intention because you're creating that. If you open your intention to receive random information about your client's soul's history, you will. If your intentionality is clouded by perspectives that we're victims of negative energy, or that things happen to us, or that we're here to fulfill some sort of spiritual mission or job assignment, then that is the flavor of information that you will receive. The fifth dimension operates entirely on intention. The Akashic Records operate entirely on intention because they are fifth dimensional in nature. And so whatever the intention is reflected back to us. So if a practitioner goes into the Akashic Records with that perspective of negative forces are out to get me, guess what? That's the kind of information they'll get. And this is why we really have to stay on top of our intentionality and our levels of thinking, because they're always going to be reflected back to us. But the beauty of the third dimension, the thing that we have here that never lies, results. Results. Results in our bank account, results in our bodies. There's a lot of people who keep telling me that they're on a path to self-healing. They've been on that path to self-healing for like 10 years. They're still in pain. That is a profound absence of results. So that's the beauty of this third dimension. There is a way to check on our level of thinking, and that's, are we creating what we want or not? And certainly in our bodies, and actually this is why I enjoy money so much, because money doesn't lie, right? It's either there or it's not. You can't fudge it because it's numbers. And it's actually the same thing with our physical health, certain aspects, right? We're either in pain or we're not. We're either, you know, at a certain weight or we're not even, right? If we're trying to manifest a healthier body by losing some excess body weight. So results will always tell you the truth. So if you're not creating results, there's an error in our thinking, and it means that our intentionality is off, because what we're receiving back is not getting us the results we want. So we always have to stay on top of that, but that's really the amazing thing about this third dimension, and it's kind of funny how so many of us choose to look past our results as if they didn't matter. Well, the third dimension is like the greatest feedback mechanism ever. It's beautiful. It's designed this way so that we get to experience ourselves by creating exactly what we want. If we're not creating exactly what we want, then we have to pay attention to that feedback and change our intentionality and our levels of thinking. So remember that you're only as clear, accurate, and specific as your understanding of what you're asking. So your frame of reference must be solid. If you think it's possible for someone to have 15 spirit guides, you'll be right. If you think that everybody's a blueprint originator, you'll be right. Or, you know, if you have this need for your clients to, for example, like you, then what you'll end up with, and you want to make your clients feel special so that they like you as a practitioner, you only want to give them good news. Next thing you know, all your clients are blueprint originators with like a 6.4 vibration rate and like, you know, and no blocks and restrictions. Yeah, okay. That's just not realistic. But it does occasionally happen that how we want our clients to feel about us can cloud the session information that we download. All right, so it's just really important that we stay in that state of detachment and neutrality. And what's really beautiful about this work is that it gives us so much opportunity to practice detachment, which is just so healthy and good for us because it really liberates us. Now, so yes, occasionally our desire to make others feel special and extraordinary can influence the reading and give us results that are out of the ordinary. And similarly, if we're concerned about how our clients perceive us, we can end up with sessions with very few blocks and restrictions. Now, if all your clients are soul shifting, or all your clients have a really high vibration rate, or most of your clients all have the same exact issues, then you'll want to examine what preconceived beliefs and perspectives you're taking with you into the records. A great attitude to take into the records is interested, but not invested. We're merely observing the information. We're not judging the information. And if you find yourself feeling bad for a client, that is judgment. So we just want to maintain the state of, huh, I wonder what's in there. I wonder who this client is. I wonder what's happening. But not getting invested. It's like, oh my God, they have so many blocks and restrictions. That's so terrible. No, it's not. It's perfect. Or, oh, their soul vibration rate's really low. Ooh, I don't know if they'll like that. First of all, none of our business. Secondly, we don't know. And, you know, it's all judgment. So this work gives us this beautiful opportunity to just look at things as they are. And what that does for us in our own life is that we detach from all the opinions that we have about ourselves, which actually makes room for us to start changing our choices, living our own divine nature, and we can just start looking at our results and not taking them personally, but just in that same way. It's like, oh, look, I didn't create what I said I wanted. Okay, let me take that feedback and change what I'm doing. Rather than, I'm a failure, or even I'm a success, right? I mean, it's the same thing. So detachment is such a beautiful thing to cultivate, and it doesn't make us emotionless robots. In fact, it allows us to live far more fully. Now, sometimes people open themselves up intuitively and energetically to the point that they become victimized by their own sensitivity rather than leveraging it as a useful skill. They may think they're receiving messages spontaneously from strangers, have a hard time being around crowds, or may even feel that they're being targeted by energy vampires as if that thing truly existed. It does not. But let me tell you, when I go on social media and what I read about people who think they're empathic or how to handle being an empath, you'd think it's like this terrible burden. I'm so empathic. I can barely stand to live in the world. Okay, then you're doing it wrong. Seriously. Sensitivity happens when we do intuitive work. It's a blessing and it requires discipline. And if it's a burden, then we're just not being disciplined and we're abdicating responsibility. And I see that so often. Oh, I'm just flooded with all of these intuitive messages. They just come in. I can't help it. It's so overwhelming. That is an abdication of responsibility. It really, really is, because we are making it happen every time. So it's very important to remember that we are the creators of our own experience and are at all times responsible for managing our energy. Energetic sensitivity, whether that manifests as intuition or empathy, is a trait that all of us human beings possess. And here's why. In more violent times, which, you know, now is the safest time to be human in history. It really is. We used to run around with swords and axes trying to kill each other constantly, okay? So, but back then it was essential that we could sense someone as friend or foe before they could do us any physical harm. We also didn't have any other way of communicating with one another. So we were actually really more tuned in and far more energetically sensitive. Just like animals are really sensitive to danger, they just sense it. That's where our sensitivity comes from too. If someone's got a sword and they're 500 yards away from you, that would be a good time to know whether they are friend or foe, whether you need to run or not, right? Before they can get, you know, within arm's reach. And so the sensitivity that we all have naturally has kept us alive. Now, as life has gotten safer And we've developed different modes of communication via the internet and electronics and all of that, you know, that sensitivity has just lessened. And that in many ways is helpful because this planet is now incredibly crowded. We've got so many people on the planet. If we were too sensitive to danger all the time, like walking through the grocery store, we would lose our minds, right? But just understand where the sensitivity comes from. Now, here's the thing. So we live in safer times, and appropriately, the sensitivity has decreased because the world is much less violent and far more crowded, right? But if we grew up in households where we were not actually safe, or we've been exposed to emotionally or physically unsafe environments for a long time, our sensitivity levels go up. Now, this serves us if we're around a parent or partner that lashes out at us, for example, and we need to keep ourselves safe. But we may maintain inappropriately high sensitivity levels long beyond those types of situations if we adopt a victim mindset or never work to regain our sense of safety, or quite frankly, if our sensitivity makes us feel very special. Oh, I'm so sensitive, right? It's almost martyrdom, and it happens. And some people really almost wear it like a badge of honor that they're so sensitive that it's they're suffering and they're oh so special. They're so sensitive. Okay, we really have to watch out for our own need to be special, especially in this profession and in this work and in the spiritual development arena to begin with. Because a lot of us come in because we're seeking what makes us unique and special. And that's appropriate, but it can also flip into dysfunction. It really can. So the situation is actually easy to resolve. You know, sadly, many people who claim to suffer the effects of being an empath are really just attached to making themselves martyrs to this very natural trait. If we're overly sensitive, here's the key. If we're overly sensitive, it's because we're essentially constantly energetically scanning our environment for danger. That becomes habitual for people. They'll energetically scan outside of themselves when in crowds, at the grocery store, and so on. Now, naturally, this results in overload, and it can also result in inappropriate intuitive hits from total strangers. There's actually a lot of our mental and emotional energy that is very public. Our mental energy field is actually quite public. So if we're going around constantly energetically being outside of ourselves, scanning, is there danger? What's out there? Is there danger? Of course, we're going to pick up stuff that's not ours. And if we do it extensively, constantly, then if we're in a crowded room, of course, we're going to be overwhelmed. But the key is we are doing it. It doesn't just happen to us, but you listen to some people talk, you think that the world just comes at them all the time. It's not true. The thing is, their senses are out in the world, and so what happens is the world comes into our senses. We're the ones creating that situation, always. The key to resolving it is to bring our focus back to where it belongs, which is our own experience, which is the only thing we're here to create. In public, you got to focus on what your body feels like, what are you doing, your breath, your own thoughts. That disrupts the scan of the environment. Now, it takes discipline because unfortunately, here's what really happens. The mind develops a habit of entertaining itself through environmental energetic input. It can be fun picking up random things from strangers. It can be entertaining. It can also be a convenient distraction because if we're out there in other people's business, we don't have to deal with our own lives and what we're creating. So it's a giant abdication of responsibility very frequently because being in other people's business, worried about everybody else, it's a distraction from what are we creating? What are we doing? What are we doing? What choices are we making? Some people are so busy being in other people's business and it's all just because they don't like their own. It happens. And it can be addictive to the mind because it's so interesting. And then we also get to feel so special. But the key is to just come back into our business, our experience. What are my thoughts? What do I feel like? What am I creating today? What am I choosing right now? What is the energy of this choice? Because that's going to be the energy of the consequence. And we start getting back to our own business and all that inappropriate intuitive information or that, you know, feeling overwhelmed, it all just will evaporate. The beauty of life today is that we are safe enough to focus on creating our own experience. We've gotten ourselves here collectively where we can create what we want. And yet a lot of us are still pretending that we're not safe to do so. So focusing on our own experience can actually be quite boring. We may also avoid doing it because then we might have to step out of our comfort zone, right? And then get on with doing our divinity. So if you find yourself getting random intuitive hits you think you didn't ask for, please think again, because you did. It's absolutely imperative that you take 100% responsibility for your intuition. If you find yourself wondering about stuff, what you're actually doing is you're asking your intuition questions. If you're wondering about who that guy in the grocery store is or wondering how your friend is doing, you are in their business. And no wonder then you might pick up very public energetic information from them. So the questions you ask yourself in your mind, they're going to get answers. Seriously. And you got to ask yourself sometimes too, like just listen to your stream of thought. Because if you're constantly wondering what your problem is, your intuition has no choice, because remember, your intent is always mirrored back to you. So if you're wondering, what is my problem? What is my problem? You're going to find that you have a series of problems. There's always something that about yourself that you have to fix or heal or transcend. Whereas if you ask a better question and redirect the questions you ask yourself in your mind, the quality of what you receive back will completely change. So that's what I mean by when your intuitive development, you know, when your intuition develops, you become more and more responsible. You really do. And what's really required is discipline. Discipline for your own thinking and for what your intent really is. So the key is always focus on your own experience. What do you want to create for yourself? What is your next step? Take it. So getting energetically into other people's business is often a massive distraction from stepping into our own spiritual potential. And pay attention to the questions you ask yourself in your mind, the things you wonder about. Where does your curiosity take you? Redirect it towards the experience you want to create, and your intuition will serve you. That's the beauty. If you ask yourself, okay, what is my intent? And you set it and you decide, because spirit can never answer that question for you. Your higher self can never answer that question for you. If you're constantly asking yourself, what do I really want? What do I really want? You just need to decide that, because free will resides at the level of mind, and there is no intuitive information that can answer that question. So that's the first question to take off the table. What do I want? Just decide what you want. You get to do that. Free will resides at the level of mind, and you need to decide it at the level of mind. From there, though, you can start going, huh, I wonder what my next step is towards that. What can I do right now to manifest that outcome? That's a great question to ask yourself. What can I do today to manifest the outcome I want? Beautiful question to wonder about. So that's the kind of discipline you want to get into. It's also imperative that as you do more of this work, you don't think about your clients in between sessions. Please don't. If you're constantly thinking about your clients, worrying about them, planning what you'll say to them, outside of your official preparation or time with them, you are not maintaining appropriate energetic boundaries. And the reason I bring this up and I'm so passionate about this is when you don't maintain appropriate boundaries, you limit the number of people you work with from an energetic perspective. We need healthy detachment and excellent boundaries in order to serve more clients. And quite frankly, my agenda is that you go serve a lot of people, because I want this work to be out in the world, and there's only so much I can do, right? So I deeply believe in this integration between our divine and human aspects. And if we could all just act like the divine beings that we are, I think that would solve pretty much all problems on this planet. So, you know, I want you to serve a lot of people, whether you do it formally or informally. But if we're constantly preoccupied with our clients, if you're in the shower worrying about what your client is doing post-session, or if you're driving your kids to school and you're wondering what you're going to say in the session later, you're already not maintaining boundaries. I actually tell clients to please ask me follow-up questions within 24 hours of a session, because I forget session information, and I do. I forget what I told my clients about themselves. I can't remember it. You know why? It's none of my business. It's not for me. The information, the soul level information, wasn't for me to know about the client. It's for the client. And so I'm going to forget about it as fast as possible. And I really recommend the same attitude for you. When you're not actually working on behalf of a client or someone that's asked you to do this work for them, don't give it any thought. Please don't. Because you'll have more capacity to serve more people when you maintain those appropriate boundaries. Otherwise, if you have 10 clients a week and you're constantly thinking and worrying about all of them, it's going to take over your life and you just won't let yourself have that many clients.